Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios, teeing it up, Swampside, Jersey, in Daytona Beach, Florida, this is Teeing It Up Presents, the Sunday Sprint, a special Saturday edition of the Sunday Sprint. Alongside my great friend Luke Morrow, I am your host. He's my co-host, and I'm your other co-host, Mr. Jeremy Schilling. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
How was your Friday night?
It was fantastic here in cold Fort Wayne.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're not in sunny Daytona Beach, Florida. You probably wish you were back in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Always. After leaving Connecticut, I don't miss the cold.
I do find it astounding, though, that you, like, sometimes will sit around in long sleeves and put your air conditioning on.
All right. I miss that cold, but not the cold outside when it's, like, 30 degrees. I miss fall, not winter.
Okay. Well, a place where it will be nice and toasty is inside the Jerry Jones Dome in Dallas for the Jets and the Cowboys tonight at 8:25 Eastern Time on the NFL Network. Luke, this is a special Saturday edition of Thursday Night Football. Have I confused you?
I love the idea for Saturday Night Football, but I hate this whole keeping Thursday night and all that sort of nonsense. It is confusing.
It is confusing. All right, what's not confusing is that the Jets are one of the hottest teams in football, and being there in the stadium last week, Luke, it's amazing what this passing attack has done. It's now a three-pronged passing attack with Eric Decker, with Brandon Marshall, and with Bilal Powell out of the backfield. The Jets right now are a team to watch because Fitz is not turning the ball over. He's making smart decisions, and he's in rhythm with his receivers, and Chris Ivory finally ran the ball well last week.
Yeah, I think you touched on it, the lack of turnovers, because that's always been the issue with Fitzpatrick. And right now he's playing his best football of the season at the best time, something like 9 touchdowns and no interceptions over the last 3 games. And it all started with the shaving of the beard, so I guess that was the key. But getting hot at the right time for the Jets and now taking on a Cowboys team that, while the defense has held its own, the offense continues to be an issue, as we saw last week in Green Bay. And somehow Dallas still with hopes for the playoffs.
As I've told you before, the whole key to this Jet team is running the football, running the football, running the football. This is what this is why I'm worried about this game, because don't you feel like this is the classic trap game where the Jets will overplay their hand, coming a little cocky off a 3-game winning streak. Dallas is at home, it's nighttime, you know, Dez will be glowing and wanting to put on a show. And I just feel very nervous about this game. I turned to my dad in the third quarter last week, and I said, I'm really nervous about this game. I think the Jets have to start quick, start fast, don't turn the ball over, and keep the beard shaven, because, as you know, Luke, it's all about facial hair these days.
That's right. That's what's led to the uptick in Fitzpatrick's success. Vikings and the Bears in Minnesota. Vikings 8-5. They win out, they win the NFC North, but it all begins with the visiting 5-8 Bears, who I guess they're still clinging to playoff hopes as well.
What's interesting about this game, Luke, is that don't you feel, especially after the way Thursday Night Football was, which is probably a heartbreaking loss, probably your most heartbreaking loss of the season, is that right?
I would say so.
Okay. And you see the Packers now back hitting their stride a little bit. You have to be very worried, and you have to be in a mode where you probably have to sweep the rest of the way, right? Don't you think 11-5 only will make it?
To win the division, but they need some help, but there's an opportunity that they could actually clinch a playoff spot today, which is pretty remarkable, all things considered, here in Week 15.
Do you feel as if, and it's remote, but do you feel as if this Viking team is mature enough and old enough? Because, look, the Bears are not very good. We know this. Do you feel that this iteration of the Vikings is further enough along to where they can take care of their business. Because when you have a young team like this, this is added pressure. You have the you are on the precipice, albeit needing help, to get into the playoffs. Do you think this team is mature enough to take that next step?
I think so. And, you know, that's something that I think kind of gets forgotten. This is an 8-5 team, but they're also one of the, I believe, top eight youngest teams in the league. And so you have a lot of young guys. You have a coach in his second year, although Zimmer obviously has experience in the league. And he's been able to get his guys up all year long for different challenges along the way. So I expect nothing less than their best effort back at home tomorrow against the Bears. And as the final three games go along, they each get tougher for the Vikings. So they need to make sure they win this one, because it's only going to get harder week after week to close out the season.
And you've been flexed for that game against the Giants next week, which could be really important. And as you can tell, Luke is not pleased about this. We are pre-taping this show. We don't know who the starting quarterback for Indianapolis will be come Sunday at 1 on CBS. But there's a good chance that it'll be Charlie Whitehurst, who some call Cardboard Jesus. And he could be facing off against T.J. Yates. And Luke, this is a battle for the AFC South title, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness. And both teams under 500. It's going to be something.
Because I was just going to say, can either of these teams actually do anything going forward? And I was going to say no.
The saving grace for me, for both teams, I think for the Texans, is that they do have a pretty good defense. Their offense is scoring less than 20 points a game, though. And for the Colts, if you can get Andrew Luck back and get the old Andrew Luck back and not the terrible one we saw this year, maybe something could happen. But you know, these two teams have had tough years. So the Texans, coming off back-to-back losses, now you're down to another quarterback here. But like I said, at least they have that good defense they can hang their hat on going up against Whitehurst and the Colts. And the Colts have just been a mess. You lose 45-10 against Pittsburgh. You get blown out against Jacksonville, of all teams, 51-16, a team that the Colts are used to dominating in that division. And so now you turn to your third-string quarterback, a guy who hasn't played a whole lot. He's going to need to get a W in the biggest spot of the season. So neither of these teams are very impressive, but I think the Colts are worse than the Texans. So I think the Texans will outlast them in this battle of bad football.
Quick on this. How do you think J.J. Watt's done and will do with his broken hand? He did not look like himself last week.
No, he didn't. And I didn't expect that. I thought he would still be able to do enough. So he's going to need to perform, maybe not 100%, but close to it with that hand, and maybe he'll have the opportunity against Whitehurst, who's not used to being back there.
Yeah. All right, we successfully move on now to a game that is going to have a lot of people in this area holding their breath, and that's Denver at Pittsburgh. The Jets desperately need Denver to win because, Luke, if Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City is the hottest team in football. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and the Jets all went out and get to 11-5. The Jets are out. They don't control their own destiny. If Denver wins, even if the Jets lose, if Denver wins, the Jets suddenly control their own destiny. Now, this would involve beating the Patriots, which we'll get to next week. But the bottom line here, Luke, is that if Brock Osweiler can somehow, for one more week, because there's a thought that Peyton might be back next week, especially if they lose. For one week, if he can just stop Big Ben, the Jets, my team, would control their own destiny. Oh, my God.
Oh, that'd be big. You know, I like Osweiler, and be interested to see how he does here against Pittsburgh and then the decision-making afterwards, because I don't know how much of an improvement Peyton is at this point. But in this particular game with the Broncos and the Steelers, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that offense is really something. And I think, as I've said all season long, when Roethlisberger is healthy, I like this Steelers team a lot. I mean, they've used three different quarterbacks this year. They're still putting up more than 400 yards a game, almost 27 points. And you look at the last five games, they're out of control. More than 30 points, more than 500 yards with a healthy Roethlisberger. So I really like the Steelers team. They're clicking right now offensively. And it's going to be a very interesting matchup with one of the best offenses in the league going up against maybe the best defense in the league in Denver.
It should be interesting, and that defense is what's been keeping Denver in this, and we'll see as we go forward what happens here. do you put Peyton back in if Brock plays okay coming out of this game? Because there's a thought that Peyton becomes Mariano Rivera here, and he becomes your pinch-hitting quarterback, essentially. He becomes the guy out of the bullpen that you kind of run out in spurts.
If Osweiler plays well Sunday against the Steelers, I'm probably, if I'm the Broncos, I'm probably starting him the following week as well.
It'll be a fascinating decision depending on how Brock plays and depending how Peyton plays as well. We are 1-4 games in. We have one game left to talk about, and that is Arizona and Philly, this wild NFC East three-way tie. We're going to have a bunch of these teams playing each other starting next week. Do you trust Chip Kelly? Because Arizona, Luke, is basically on cruise control here. They're going to win the NFC West most likely or be that wild card seed if Seattle can win the division, come back to win the division. What's your take here on Philly, Chip Kelly, and Sam Bradford?
I don't trust Chip Kelly or Sam Bradford. I will give them credit. And after those two embarrassing blowouts against two pretty poor teams, they've bounced back. And they went into New England and beat the Patriots, something I didn't think they'd be able to do. And then a pretty good win last week down to the wire at home against Buffalo, which I didn't think they'd be able to pull off either. So credit to them for righting the ship here, at least momentarily. And now they have a very good Cardinals team, which is one of the best in the league. But as you said, the Cardinals don't have as much to play for at this point, while the Eagles have more. So you know, if they can keep this streak going, but on paper, I think the Cardinals are just so much better than the Philadelphia team.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals will win this game, win it handily. The Cardinals have been on Sunday Night Football a lot this year. They've gotten flexed a couple times. This is a team that's gotten a little bit more and more national exposure. It'll be interesting to see how they continue to play under the limelight. Luke, it is time for the end of our radio program. And on this Saturday, looking ahead towards Sunday and Monday, we have plenty of clunkers to choose from for the game to watch golf during. But first, give me your game of these days.
I think I got to go Texans Colts for the AFC title.
I agree. I just, you know, Denver-Pittsburgh's more important in terms of my team, but I do have to go that way. What is your sleeper game?
Sleeper game, I'll go with, I'll say Bills-Redskins.
I will go with Green Bay-Oakland. This Oakland team might make it. They might make it into the playoffs. The game to watch golf during. Luke, there is no golf on TV this weekend. So there's technically no golf to watch. But there's plenty of clunkers. Plenty of clunkers to choose from. Which clunker are you going to go with?
I'm tempted to also quote the Texans-Colts game, but I'm going to say Bengals 49ers.
I'm going to go with Atlanta-Jacksonville. How much money would you pay for that?
None.
You can pay $45 to get into the building.
I'll go if I'm getting paid $45.
There you go. Finally, your Survivor Eliminator lock game.
Seahawks at home against the Browns.
New England against Tennessee. I saw this Tennessee team last week. Luke, they cannot tackle and they cannot play defense, and they left Brandon Marshall wide open, which, as we saw with the Dolphins against Odell Beckham, is a really bad idea. Your player to watch today or tomorrow or Monday?
I'm going to go with a cop-out and say all the backup quarterbacks that have to step in for the Texans, the Colts, the Bengals, so on and so forth.
There's a lot of them, and that's something we'll have to talk about going forward here. What happens to Cincinnati with no Andy Dalton? Luke, it's a pleasure, as always. I thank you for being with me this morning. Have a great Saturday. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Monday. Have a great Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and next Saturday. And we'll see you back here next Sunday for the Sunday Sprint. Thank you.